Welcome to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf and Thomas Trantz here with you, coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And you can text in 650-650, the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. Canucks Talk brought to you by the Hockey Shop in Langley. It's a great day for hockey. Thomas, how are you?
Doing well. Interesting day.
Interesting day.
With the Canucks set to take on or host the St. Louis Blues tonight at Rogers Arena. Shall we get right into it?
Let's get into it. It's time for the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
You mentioned it. The Vancouver Canucks taking on the St. Louis Blues. Third game of a six-game homestand. And the big news from practice today, Thatcher Demko.
Oh.
Expected to get the start tonight against the Blues, first start in 233 days.
Confirmed. Confirmed by Rick Tocchet after morning skate at which Demko was first off. So the Canucks goaltender, who has played two games as a backup, the IIHF, by the way, tracks those games with a unique international hockey stat called Games Played Indeed.
Indeed.
Yeah, so there's a GPI stat that they use only in international hockey. Games Played Indeed. Anyway, the fact is that Thatcher Demko is set to start for the Vancouver Canucks for the first time since game one of the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. He's played three games since sustaining an initial knee injury against the Winnipeg Jets in March of this year. It's been a long road back for the Canucks netminder. We'd expect him to be a bit rusty. We don't really know what to expect beyond that. He's a great player. He's a great player. And given where this team's at, how they performed, some of the unevenness with which this team has performed with over the course of the season, some of the inconsistency, some of the struggles manufacturing offense, you know, this is a potential ceiling raising return for this club. They need a dominant goaltender as well as Lankinen has performed. You know, Demko's one of those guys that can go on a 950 heater over the course of a month to 6 weeks. We've talked about it before, though, those dominant stretches that he's able to string together. You ever get one of those stretches in May and June, right? We may have a lot of Canucks fans' dreams that are no longer as frustrated as they have been over the history of this franchise's existence. So we'll see how he looks. We'll keep our expectations in check. Thatcher Demko returns against the St. Louis Blues.
And one thing that I'm excited to see that we kind of talked about, and I don't know if it'll be different, but in the past, the Canucks have played different in front of Thatcher Demko. And I don't know if we get that right away. It might take a little bit of them getting used to having Demko behind them again, and also Demko getting back into game shape, and them, you know, that confidence goes both ways if we're talking about a team playing differently in front of a goalie. I am interested to see if there is any difference, and maybe there won't be, because, hey, like, Kevin Lankinen has been great for the team. I'm sure they have a lot of confidence in him and how they play in front of him, but I'm just interested in seeing how that shakes out and if there is any difference with how the Canucks play in front of Thatcher Demko this season.
Yeah, as I mean, we know that Lankinen has performed at the level of a top half of the league workhorse starter, right? I mean, he started a lion's share of games. He's held the fort as Artur Shelov has struggled. Shelov's, of course, now in Abbotsford. This team would not be as well positioned with a 600 plus point percentage and very much live still in the Pacific Division, despite, you know, honestly, a nightmare run of events, frankly, when you really list it all out for this club without Lankinen's contributions. And yet, you know, Lankinen is a player who I think can be an average to slightly above average starter. Thatcher Demko can be one of the best puck stopping human beings on the planet, period. Mm-hmm. And look, especially with this team struggling to manufacture goals, especially with them struggling to control play lately, right? That's the sort of piece that, frankly, the Canucks require this season. So might not see it tonight. Might take him a while to ramp up and be at full go, right? But this is a big return. This is a big moment. This is something that Demko himself has been working hard to get to. You hope that he can take a moment to savor all the hard work that went into returning, and certainly we hope to see him look more or less like a facsimile of his usual dominant self tonight at Rogers Arena.
So Thatcher Demko returning, did you have anything more on that before we move on?
No, I think the JT Miller skates with the team story we need to get into second, just because obviously this absence remains unexplained. Rick Tocchet didn't want to get into it enough. He pleaded with the media when asked, you know, how often Miller and him have been in touch during this, you know, now protracted, what, are we up to 3 weeks?
Yes.
3 week absence?
3 weeks. It's going to be 10 games after tonight.
Yeah. And Miller is going to practice tomorrow. Tocchet confirmed. So we now actually have a timeline for his return. Still a lot of mystery, obviously. He has missed more games on this absence than he had in his entire Canucks career previously. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that this is a hard scrabble pro who does not miss games lightly. Great to see him, you know, given the gravity that implies, right? Great to see him back with the group. Presumably, if he practices tomorrow, he'll address his situation, his absence at greater length. Probably doesn't provide intimate color into exactly what went on. That's fine. It will be excellent to hear from him, excellent to see him ramping up his normal hockey activity. This team needs him, as well as they performed 11 points in 9 games in his absence, right? That's 5-3-1 record in those 9 games, Josh. As much as that's true, these have been coin flip games against uninspiring competition. Like, they have not played well in Miller's absence. If you thought that this team might be able to, you know, they've held the line, they've kept their fortunes afloat, but this team's not going to cook the way they can without Miller in the lineup. And you know, hopefully at full go, having benefited physically from 3 weeks off, having benefited, mentally or whatever in terms of what else he was dealing with, you hope that he can give this team a boost because, frankly, they need it based on their recent form.
Yeah, it's like I talked about it yesterday, but it feels like they're kind of missing that second punch that they usually get with.
Oh, I think they're missing the first punch.
Yeah.
Well, to be totally honest with you, they're losing matchups at the top of the lineup on an almost every game basis since Miller's absence was compounded with Hronek's absence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't have a single forward line regularly outshooting or controlling play against their opponents. They have Quinn Hughes and not enough else. I mean, honestly, I don't even think they have a first punch right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was a stretch where it felt like Pettersson again was, it felt like he was almost back or trending towards being back. But I just think it's so tough for this team when you, like, they should have that first punch, but they just don't. And to your point, Pettersson just hasn't been doing enough at the top of the lineup. Nobody in the forward group has essentially been doing enough aside from defensively Quinn Hughes. When he's on the ice, things are going the Canucks way, but even that to an extent isn't as in their favor as it has been in the past. I just, the thing I come back to is it does feel like, hey, if you can have more of a balance in this lineup, like, hey, you keep Pettersson with Jake DeBrusk, maybe you bring Kiefer Sherwood back up to that line, and then you bring JT Miller back, he gets Brock Besser back in his wing, and maybe it's Pugh Suter, whoever, playing on that left side. It just feels like you can maybe start to have that rolling of lines again, because right now it just feels like everybody's kind of trying to play above where they should. I mentioned yesterday the Joshua Garland duo. They had momentum changing shifts last season that we got so used to, and we haven't seen any of that this season. And part of it, hey, Dakota Joshua coming back from a unique circumstance that takes a while to come back from, but it does feel like if they were getting more of the third line matchups, that might go more in their favor just because you can get things rolling a little bit more.
Yeah, in the early part of the Miller absence, that Suter Garland line was Vancouver's best, right? And really it was, you know, I think Joshua's still finding his rhythm, his hands, his feet. Fair enough. He missed training camp. He's been through a lot himself. You know, this is sort of all the compounding issues at the margins, right? Personal issues and injury issues that have kind of sapped some of this team's juice in the early part of the season, I think. But when we're looking at Garland and Suter, I mean, that's probably been Vancouver's best five-on-five forward line in Miller's absence. It's just not enough. They're still below water from a shot attempts perspective. They're outscoring their opponents, but you know, there's been a fair bit of conversion efficiency that's kind of brought them there. So, you know, a lot of work to do for this Canucks team, obviously, over the course of the season. They've done an admirable, commendable job making sure that any pain felt in terms of the results was minimal, right? But there is a form question where I do think we've seen a noticeable drop off, especially especially since Hronek left the lineup. And not that Hronek is more vital to this team's infrastructure, their environment, than JT Miller is, but I think they kind of bumped into an amount of losses here, right? Where you lose Miller for 10, and then you lose Hronek, and all of a sudden this team's capacity five-on-five, their gear sort of shifts down pretty significantly. Demko back then, I think, should represent, like, hopefully the start of this team beginning to turn a corner and getting some of their key pieces back. Certainly Demko can patch over a lot of sins in terms of defensive play, in terms of, you know, what you look like at five-on-five. But yeah, Miller getting close, Demko getting back in tonight. That's a huge development for this club.
Also from practice, looks like Derek Forbert was skating on a pair with Eric Brännström. So Rick Tocchet did not confirm Derek Forbert would be in for Vinny Desharnais, but that's what the third pair looked like. We'll see how that shakes out tonight. A game time decision for Derek Forbert, who, I mean, I think should help. Like Vinny Desharnais on the penalty kill, he had some benefits, but to me, 5-on-5, there's been a lot left to desire from Vinny Desharnais. And
How Brännström and Desharnais have looked together. I actually think Forbert's got a relatively high bar given how we've seen that pairing perform, provided that their minutes are chill, provided that their minutes are sheltered against the third pair, because, you know, we did see Brännström's role expand for a bit and the results were a little bit mixed, right? When that pair has been deployed, especially the way they were throughout November, for example, I think they've been really steady as a duo. Now, Forbert is a really high IQ defensive player. You know, the shot blocking, the positional confidence. I mean, I think he can bring a lot to this team, and we've really not gotten a chance to see it, given some of the injury issues and personal issues that he has dealt with in his first Canucks season. But I'm not just leaving the light on for Forbert to be to make an impact. I think he will. Like, I think this is a very welcome return and one that gives the Canucks some options too. Should this Soucy-Juulsen second pair, which has played a little bit above their heads in my view, right? Like, they played really well, I think, over the last week, but I'm still not taking that to the bank as something the Canucks can count on for a protracted stretch as a second pair. You know, Forbert at least gives the club some options, an option with a little bit more size on the left side that they might be a little more confident bumping up the lineup if Soucy's sort of, glow up. Like, he's been better for about the last 4 weeks, but the first month of the season was still concerning. You know, if that doesn't continue, right, if he starts to struggle again or loses some of his game, loses some of his fastball again, reverts to what he looked like in the early part of the season, I think Forbert gives them some flexibility to try some different stuff.
So that is what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks right now, mainly these takeaways from practice. And once again, Thatcher Demko will get the start tonight for Vancouver. JT Miller did skate with the team, expected to practice tomorrow. We'll see if that means he plays on Thursday. But that's the latest, and we'll hear from Rick Tocchet later in the show regarding JT Miller and everything going on with the team. And then again, Derek Forbert skating with the team in a regular jersey, not a non-contact jersey, and he is a game-time decision for the Vancouver Canucks. In the broadsheet, I didn't really have anything today. Not a lot going on outside of...
When there's nothing to update in the broadsheet, we say this. We say, we're hearing that the Canucks are working the phones seeking to upgrade on defense.
All right.
But because of the cap situation around the league, it's going to be tough.
Oh, That makes sense.
That's our watchword. That's like saying, you know, when you count out 19 in a hand of cribbage,
yeah,
it means zero, mm-hmm, because it's a mathematical impossibility. That's our version of 19 on the whiteboard. Canucks, working the phones, looking to upgrade their defense.
Iron's in the fire.
It's going to be hard to do given the cap situation around the league.
And like, you know what?
You can say that any day, and it's probably true.
And they're accruing caps, so they might not want to make a move immediately.
Yes.
Want to capitalize on that cap accrual. Lineup notes was essentially everything from the headlines. Playoff odds, the Canucks playoff chances, 94% according to Dom's model. Make the Stanley Cup final, 13%, and to win the Stanley Cup, 7% according to Dom's model. Betting odds.
Yes. So let's get to the betting odds. The Canucks are -165 favorites. That's down from 185 yesterday. Demko's return apparently causing the Canucks to lose some steam. I think that makes sense too, right? Because ultimately you're just adding an unknown, which from the perspective of someone wagering, right, is not necessarily welcome, even if Demko's ceiling case, like it's an interesting one where as a favorite, Demko's return probably docks the Canucks odds. But if they were a dog, he might improve their odds. You know what I'm saying?
I get what you mean.
Because it's more than anything, it's just like a more volatile situation from the perspective of those wagering. The over-under set at 5.5. Slightly more steam on the over. The bettors are expecting some goals tonight. I also want to address this because Canucks fans are reading in ESPN.
Yes, I wanted to get to this.
Greg Wyshynski polls awards voters from the PHWA. Historically, mm-hmm, you know, I've exchanged some notes with him about this. And he sort of does an awards tracker, just kind of taking the temperature of a panel of voters. And not a lot of love for Quinn Hughes for any regular season awards. And as such, I wanted to just quickly go over this. So the Hart Trophy odds, right? We've discussed that Quinn Hughes was 100-1 2 weeks ago. He's now 75-1.
So he's moved up.
He's moved up. You know, he's basically at par with Igor Shesterkin, his brother, Austin Matthews, Mikko Rantanen, Kyle Connor, and Mitch Marner. So it's not as if he's being disrespected in the betting markets. He's kind of on the fringes of the top 10. Should he be higher? I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so. But also, you know, he might be if the Canucks had done something like gone 7-1-1 in Miller's absence as opposed to 5-3-1. Right now, how much impact can one defender make? You know, I think Quinn Hughes is already at the point where you're pushing it to expect much of anything beyond dominating play at the level that he has and producing like one of the five best, most dynamic players, regardless of position in the sport over the last month, which he has accomplished. But, you know, the fact is that the gambling market seemed to have the temperature of sort of the state of the awards market relatively square. Now, Norris Trophy, the ESPN voters remain much higher on Cale Makar, and I know a lot of people are dunking on one awards voter who suggested that Makar was light years ahead of Quinn Hughes, who, by the way, has more points per game than Cale Makar does this season. That gap has closed. It's shrunk completely. Now, Makar has been as high as like -450, -500 to win the award. He's been a heavy favorite to win the Norris.
He got off to a really good start.
An incredible start. He's now -200 and Quinn Hughes is +200. Okay, so Hughes has closed the gap on both of these awards. And this is really where I think we need to take a deep breath and sort of look at this in context, right? The fact is that the Hart Trophy is not awarded for what happens in October, November, and the first 10 days of December. Okay, it is awarded for what happens, especially down the stretch. The Canucks have been through a lot as a team. Besser missed a bunch of games because of concussion. They've had a player in Dakota Joshua miss a month and a half of action, you know, as a result of his recovery from testicular cancer. You've had a star goaltender in Thatcher Demko poised to finally make his debut tonight. You've had Derek Forbert away from the team for, I mean, you've had all of these. You've had Elias Pettersson firing blanks for the first 6 weeks of the season. I mean, so much has gone against this team, and yet they remain extraordinarily well-positioned in the Pacific, with bodies beginning to filter back into their lineup. And a lot of the reason for that is what they've accomplished under Quinn Hughes, right? What Quinn Hughes has done in leveling up to be one of the five most impactful players in the sport, period, in my opinion. Now, I tend to be an awards voter. We'll see if I'm selected again this year. Not every PHWA member has a vote every season. But I think he's going to warrant strong consideration for the Hart by the end of the season. What's required, however, to really put him into the mix? Not just in the Norris, because that'll take care of itself, right? Like that, if he gets into the Hart conversation, he's going to win the Norris.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Norris, we don't have to ignore. He's going to have to finish within shouting distance of Cale Makar's point totals. And Vancouver's going to have to significantly outperform the Colorado Avalanche down the stretch. Like, that's it. But the Hart conversation for Quinn Hughes. First of all, defenders don't really win the Hart Trophy. Really, really hard to do. Okay? Hasn't happened since Pronger, I think?
Yes.
You can fact check me on that. The way that Quinn Hughes really enters this conversation is to flirt with or hit 100 points. It's to dominate the Four Nations faceoff. You have to leave the Four Nations faceoff, even though the award shouldn't cover that tournament. And it has to be clear that Quinn Hughes was the most impactful defender in that tournament, more impactful than Cale Makar. I think that's going to be a really key turning point if Quinn Hughes is going to, you know, achieve the once in a 20-year feat of winning the Norris winning the Hart, as a defenseman. And then the last part of this is the Canucks have to get healthy and they have to look like a juggernaut for the final 55 plus games of the season. Like, from now to the end of the year, the Canucks probably have to reel off like 125, 130 point pace. They have to be picking their teeth with opponents, and Quinn Hughes has to be the driving force of it, which, by the way, if it ever happens, he would be.
Yes.
So I think there's a path.
Yeah,
there's a path. The conversation today is not what the conversation is going to be. Quinn Hughes remains an extreme long shot to get Hart Trophy love. He remains an underdog, but only a slight underdog for the Norris. I don't really think it's fair to look at this whole situation and say that Quinn Hughes is undervalued or not getting enough respect around the league or anything like that. I kind of think he is where he should be. Like, Makar had like 25 points in the first 10 games of the season.
Yeah, like, but we're at like 25, 30 games now.
No, I know, but it's going to take some time for that first impression to settle.
Yeah. The thing I keep coming back to is like the Makar without MacKinnon numbers are just, they're just bad.
Sure. But I mean, but those wowie arguments begin to be made in full when the samples are large enough and when the season is nearly done. Like, how many PHWA voters do you think are making their votes based solely off of like with or without you data?
Ah.
You know what I mean? Like, those cases will start to be made down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's narratives. Right now, it's like the Avs need Makar more than ever, and he's stepped up, and he's driving the offense for this team. But I think in time, people are going to be like, hey, the Avs aren't actually that good defensively. What's going on? Right? And that's where Quinn Hughes, I think, can sneak in and sort of potentially repeat as the Norris winner and maybe even get into the MVP conversation. There's a path. It's definitely a long shot. On the Hart Trophy side, he's an underdog, but an underdog within shouting distance, and the margin is narrowing as a result of Quinn Hughes' last 4 or 5 weeks and Makar's. So we are seeing that close. I think that's where it should be.
Yeah, I think it should be closer, but I also understand the narrative.
Minus 200 plus 200. I mean, that's,
it's close.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know what? It's like only slightly longer odds than the Blues have beating the Canucks tonight, which absolutely could happen, right? So
yes. We
are not even in long shot territory in terms of that.
All right. Music is playing. That's the whiteboard.
No. You have to keep talking when the music plays.
Yeah, just talk louder.
Lou's waiting for it.
We have Lou Korak on the other side covering the Blues for NHL.com. We'll get into that side of tonight's game. On the other side, it is Josh Elliott-Wolf and Thomas Drantz on Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.